All right. Our first paper this morning is Improving Efficacy of Nematicide Seed Treatments in Upland Cotton Grown in Reniform Nematode-Infested Soils. H. Randall Smith and colleagues.
Now, the advancer does not work.
The advancer does not work. The laser does.
So I've got to advance it from here?
Yes. Spacebar should work.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Good morning. I'd like to recognize my associates with this project. Myself, Gary Lawrence, Richard Harkis, Kathy Lawrence, David Lane, Mike Phillips, and Patricia Knight. The objectives of this study was to determine if 5-HCLP applied as a foliar spray could improve the efficacy of nematicide seed treatments in reniform infested soils. Also to determine how varying reniform populations could affect cotton growth when treated with a nematicide seed treatment under greenhouse environments. Our material methods were twofold, one for the infield evaluations and one for the greenhouse evaluations, and these trials were conducted in 2012. The study design was a randomized complete block with a minimum of four replications. Our data analysis was with ANOVA at the 0.05 level of probability, and the means were separated utilizing the least significant difference. Our variety of choice for this study was phytogen 375 wide stripe flex. We had two study locations, one at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center in Belmina, Alabama, and one at the North Farm in Mississippi State University. Our rows per plot were two. They were planted with a cone planter in a solid pattern. Our plot size at Mississippi State was 6.33 by 50 feet long, and at the Alabama location was 6.66 by 25 feet. Our treatments involved Ares plus Votivo, Timic 15G, then these treatments once again, but oversprayed with 5-HCLB at the pinhead square and then 10 days after that, utilizing a CO2 backpack sprayer. Any of the plots that did not receive 5-HCLB were treated with orthane insecticide. In our field evaluations, we divided into growth stages of pre-square, square, bloom, and open bow. Our prior square evaluations occurred 14 days after emergence, and we evaluated for plant population, hypocotyl length, and visual vigor on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being the greatest. Our growth parameters, utilizing plant mapping, we evaluated 6 plants per plot per evaluation. We evaluated for fruit retention at positions 1, 2, and greater than 2. Our growth parameters we evaluated for plant height, total nodes, height to node ratio, and average plant height by node in an accumulated fashion. In our maturity factors, we looked at nodes first fruit and branch, nodes above white flower, nodes above cracked bulb, percent open bowl, as well as bowl diameter at the 9th and 12th node below the terminal, as well as yield. We sampled every plot for the reniform nematode at 6 samples per plot, ran through the elutriator and centrifuge process, and then enumerated. Our greenhouse studies, very similar to our presentation yesterday, planted 2 seed per 3-inch pot into a sterile freestone fine sandy loam soil, and then after emergence, we removed one plant. Our soils were inoculated at populations of 2,500 up to 7,500 reniform per container. Our pre-harvest data that we acquired included plant height, total nodes, and nodes first fruiting branch. At harvest, we acquired data on stalk and sheet and root biomass, as well as the reniform numbers. Our treatments in this study include Ares plus Votivo, and Timic 15G compared to an untreated check. Now, our results, as we look at the season-long progression of the reniform, we see that the Alabama location started out very high. It was a hot population. It fell into the month of June and continued almost a straight line until July and then began to increase. We started very low in the population of reniform at Starkville, very similar to what we saw yesterday in the other studies. And at June, the population began to incline, but at no point in time did it rival the Alabama location. When we looked at plants per acre at Mississippi State, we see a much higher population overall than what we saw at the Tennessee Valley. And what we do see is that the nematicide seed treatments tended to show a little bit lower overall plant population. I do not think that definitely not due to the reniform, but it's something we need to explore later on. When I get to vigor, we see an improvement in vigor and overall hypocotyl lengths. And I use hypocotyl lengths as a measure to quantify overall vigor as a checks and balance. But we see that the nematicide seed treatments do improve the vigor compared to the untreated check. Definitely, chemics at the locations did provide us superior vigor improvement. In the hypocotyl lengths at the Tennessee Valley, what we see is there's no difference under these high population in hypocotyl lengths. So the nematicides are providing us suitable performance in that high population. In those first fruiting branch, we see that definitely the nematicides are improving the initiation of early fruiting. Especially under the high populations at the Tennessee Valley. Now what we see at Tennessee Valley is that population, even though significantly different from the untreated check, they are numerically higher than the Mississippi State location where we have a lower population. So some of these populations are having an effect on us. When I get into looking at plant height, and then I begin bringing the bidate picture into this, and I start looking at bloom and open bowl, what we see really is that there is an improvement by using the bidate application. And it makes the Ares treatments, both Ares Votivo and Ares Alone, comparable to the Timic 15G, and even greater than the Timic 15G. So bidate is playing a major role in our overall program, and it's even more pronounced at the high, under the high populations of the Alabama location. To further verify this of what's going on with the bidate is at node 9 and node 11, we begin to see things segregate relative to the bidate applications. And they begin to become significantly different from the nematicide seed treatments alone. But definitely by node 9, node 11, there is a significant breakout that continues throughout the course of development during that bloom period. When we look at retention, we see that there is, during square, there was no difference in retention at the first position. We begin to pick up some differences and improvements at the second position with the bidate application. Our largest numbers of differences occur during bloom. Our greatest improvement began to show up during bloom at the first and second position, which are key sites on the cotton plant and high quality sites for it. And that continues on into bloom. But the bidate is allowing these Ares or these nematicide seed treatments to become comparable to Timic 15G in retention. And this, it follows the same pattern at the Alabama location. Now the retention during open bowl is at the final evaluation is a little bit lower in that Alabama location, indicating the high pressures of the reniform, as well as some environmental stresses that we underwent at that location. When we look at maturity, nodes above white flower is hastened with the bidate application. In the nematicide seed treatments, making them very comparable to the Timic 15G. We further see this at nodes above cracked bowl and percent open bowl. And this continues between both locations. So It is affecting our maturity because we are enhancing the first and second position retention levels. This is further verified looking at bowl diameter of difference. As that bowl progresses from the 12th node below the terminal to the 9th node below the terminal at first position, we do see how this bidate applications are improving the overall growth of that bowl. If you look at the bowl diameter difference at the Alabama location, it's a much larger number, and it tells me that this plants have collectively have been delayed. And if you look at it very closely, you do still see that the bidate applications do improve overall bowl growth. This continues on into yield, and we do see that at both locations, the bidate applications have improved overall performance in yield ability, making these nematicide seed treatments comparable to the TEMEC 15G. In our greenhouse studies, it did not matter what treatment we had. As the population of reniform increased, we saw a reduction in shoot and root biomass as the population increased. However, what we do see that as that population increases, different products tend to fall out at different populations. Aries tends to fall out somewhere about that 5,000 range. Aries plus Lotivo tends to fall out about that 7,500. But still, the biggest player is still, under these high populations, still TEMEC 15G. We see the same thing with our plant height and growth parameters in the greenhouse, but if we look at plant heights, we see there's no differences between the nematicides at 2,500, but when we get to the 5,000, we see Aries falling out, and then at 7,500, we see both of the nematicides fall out. So Aries plus Lotivo seemingly has been giving us, gives us a little bit of performance at these higher levels. In conclusion, based on our greenhouse studies, nematicide seed treatments do provide suitable reniform management at low to moderate populations, but did not compare to TEMEC 15G at higher populations, indicating a need for additional assistance. Based on our infield studies, bidate CLB applied as foliar applications did improve growth and development and yield, as well as retention and improved maturity within the cotton plants. I definitely think we need to further studies involving this integrated crop management program in reniform nematode environments. At this point in time, I'll entertain any questions.